हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 22, Qualities of Sri Krishna Further Explained. From verse 2194, page 79. Srila Jiva Goswami. The sequence of three items, is greater to lesser in powers. He has the power to bewilder Brahma, Shiva, and others. Others refers to Shankarsana, Balaram. Balaram also gets bewildered by Krishna. Balaram had greater and greater realizations after Krishna had played the role of the calves and boys for almost a year. She must be the illusory energy of my master, Lord Krishna, for who else can bewilder me? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:13-37. Yes. Because this is Krishna's yoga mind. Because she generally, the point is he'll be aware of this, right? And then after that, he won't. But when the yoga maya that's under Balaram's control, then she's arranging the pastimes and everything nicely for Krishna, and so he doesn't have to think about it. That's the point of the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis, is they make arrangements for Krishna, and Krishna, as the supreme enjoyer, then just enjoys the pastimes. But in special occasions, then Krishna himself, as a desire, then he'll arrange it directly. So that when he arranges it directly, then even Balaram won't understand. He can tell something's going on. Like everybody else, no one can tell. But he can tell something's going on, but he can't quite tell because it's Krishna's story. Yes?
Does it have to do something with the secretary is working more than boss?
Secretary is working more than?
Boss.
It means you can say is that, but working with what? It means the secretary is working. But in primary things or secondary?
Primary, this case.
Primary. Taking the paper, moving it from here to here. it's the, what do you call it? What's that called? That butterfly effect, the paper moves from here to here. Tsunamis happen in Indonesia. Like that. She puts on lipstick and then, like that. Hurricanes are happening in, Kansas. And people end up in Australia.
Secondary.
Okay. Good call. Okay. You understand? Because what are they doing? They're doing things that are supporting what the boss is doing. So the boss knows what needs to be done. And then all those things to support who has to meet who, this and that. It's a big volume. That's the thing, is that we take it that the secondary is more important because of the volume. But it's not by volume. Yeah. It's by its intent. It's just like this. Let us say, okay, here, let's take an example. Okay, we plan a feast, a preparation, okay? Then, we discuss, what should be this, that, or so many different things like that. Then, then money is given by the treasurer, then the guy who, does the marketing goes to the market. He talks with all those guys, gets whatever, things like that. That's brought it back. Then you have the person that's there, cleaning the kitchen, the person washing the pots. You have the person that's cutting up all the vegetables and whatever ingredients are there and preparing them like that. Does that make sense? So you're going to have all that happening. Someone managing the kitchen, somebody doing so many different things. The prep's going to take 15 minutes to cook. So we could say by volume these other things are more important, but actually it's all about cooking. That's the whole thing. That's what we were discussing earlier about the Anandamaya Purusha, which is the prominent. Because then, remember in the first part where we're talking about Brahman is just that basis, just the tail, so it can't be that. It's talking about the person who has the Priya, Moda, and Pramoda, the qualities. But that's actually the main point. It's not the Jiva, and Brahman is just the tail, so this must be Parabrahman, right? And then once that's established, that part, then we look at it, well, even the Priya, Moda, and Pramoda are not the Absolute. These are qualities of the Absolute. So the Absolute is beyond that. The person is beyond that. Like Krishna says, he is everything, but he, as a person, is beyond it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that that function is there, and then there's the person who's doing it. So that's why the karmis and jnanis, they're not going to necessarily understand the absolute truth very easily. Right? Because you're going to have the aspect is, but all this intellectualizing and then all it is just as this. You know? Because people want that, they put in the work. It's just like, have you ever seen building a building?
Yes.
Right? You build the building, when you put in the foundation, and build up the foundation, it's the biggest part and most elaborate thing in the thing. Laying it out, getting all the things, where all the weight's going to be distributed. They're huge and they're really amazing. And then it gets covered up and then the building sits on top. You know what I'm saying? So, those who are into that, they want that to be seen. You know, so that's why they take pictures of everything beforehand. No one really cares. They just want the building at the end and it works. You know, okay, it's fun. It's a little collage that takes, 15, 20 seconds. It's okay. But, they would want it to be this hour explanation and this and why they did that. And, we thought about this and that. We thought we'd use this, but then that happened. And then, so many things, Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So like that. So we put the emphasis on the secondary. That's why we've come to the material world. Because we've focused on the secondary, not the primary. So instead of Krishna's pleasure, we're looking at the mechanics that are there and how that itself gives some pleasure. Right? Because everything being Krishna, if you work with anything, there'll be some pleasure in it. Otherwise, why did the jnanis get a taste in knowledge? Or the karmis get a taste in karma, even though there is no taste? Right? So in other words, there's a taste there because it's Krishna, but unless you see it as Krishna, you actually don't get a taste. It's there, but it won't satisfy. But when you see it in context of Krishna, then it's satisfying. Does that make sense? Right? You eat, but you won't be satisfied. But you eat it because it's prasad and see its connection to Krishna, then you're satisfied. You know what I'm saying? It's just like if you're hungry and I come and I give you, a little pinch of something. You won't be satisfied. But if you're standing there and you're waiting for lunch and I come by, with the maha plate and take a pinch off and give it to you, you're satisfied. Because you see the connection to Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's what always has to be appreciated. Does that make sense? So for some pastimes, because of just the nature of them, then it's fun to bewilder Balaram. Right? And so then that's part, you don't see much, but it's there. It's part of the fun. You know? Because then it has that, because then he, nobody knows and you're doing this. So that's the thing, is that it's what pleases Krishna is what he does. Because he being the perfect person, whatever he does is perfect. And if you take part in it, you become pleased. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so therefore, then Yogamaya will arrange the pastimes because she knows what Krishna wants and likes and everything like this. And so it'll all go on. And so Balaram being privy to it's fine. But some of the more intimate things, then he's not. because it's not necessary for him to know to increase Krishna's pleasure. See, this one, he's taken the Brahma's come, stolen the cows and calves. Then Krishna's expanded as all the cows and calves. Joy. Hare Krishna. He's expanded as all the cows and calves. And so then, Balaram not knowing and then finding out, then that's fun. Right? Because it's something kind of more official and all that, but at the same time as he's doing many things at once. So all the living entities in Vrindavan would like to have Krishna, you know, connected to them. Right? So then, you know, this way then all the cows become his mother. All the women of Braja, the elder gopis, all become his mother. Otherwise, just Mother Jashoda and they're all assisting. So this way then they all also take part. Right? Then as the cowherd boys, they're all married to the gopis. So someone comes up with a bright idea. All the gopis are married during this year also. Because then who are they marrying? They're marrying Krishna. So all this is how happening. And then Balaram turns out, and it's an amazing arrangement. Does that make sense? But you see is then when it comes to that pastime when he's lifting Govardhan Hill, and then the gopis are there, and the cowherd men are there, and everybody's there, because then he's arranged that they all want to always look at Krishna, but then he'll be with one group of devotees or another. Right? He's either with the parents, or he's with the cowherd boys, or he's with the gopis. He's never with all of them at once, where all of them can interact. Right? So then, lifting Govardhan Hill, they can all be there at once. Right? And so now, all being there at once, then also the gopis are there, and then Krishna, seeing the gopis, then he, because of the conjugal attraction, his hand starts to shake. And so then, the cowherd men, Then they're getting worried and all this and that, putting up their sticks and all that. And Balaram seeing that and smiling, because he's Krishna. It's nothing's going to happen. So he's smiling because he's thinking that the cowherd men think Krishna can't hold up the hill, right? So it matches in the Ras and what he deals with. He doesn't understand it's because Krishna's looking at the gopis, but Krishna thinks Balaram understands. Therefore, he's shy. So Yoga Maya arranges in these ways. So it's a matter of who's going to understand what and all this. Just like, let's say, Krishna takes the form. Krishna's there as Krishna, right? Abhimanyu in Vrindavan, right? Is Abhimanyu his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then he can understand this is Krishna. But then you have other times where, because Krishna and Abhimanyu look the same. Basically, it's just who's dressing how. Right? So then, if Krishna dresses up as Abhimanyu, then his mother can't tell. She thinks this is Abhimanyu. So then, Krishna's Abhimanyu, he's there telling Jatila and Kotila that Krishna, I've gotten wind of this trick Krishna's going to play, you know, how he's always trying to come to the house and interact with Abhimanyu's wife. And that, and so Krishna's going to come dressed as me. He's going to come dressed as me, yeah, as Abhimanyu, but don't believe it. It's Krishna. Like that. So as soon as Abhimanyu comes home, then Jatila and Kaja are out there harassing him and throwing him out and all that. And it's what happened, you know, just coming home and like that, and he's being called like this. So Yoga Maya is arranging, so they can't understand. But others can. The gopis, now that's great fun. Krishna's, is Abhimanyu and throwing out Abhimanyu so that he can be with Radharani. You know, and Jatila thinks it's okay. And it's just like, it doesn't get better than that. So the Yoga Maya will make the arrangement what will be pleasing to Krishna. And he may understand the technical points that are going on in the Yoga Maya, or generally he doesn't. Because the point is the taste and not knowing how it's going to unfold, there's more taste. Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say, there's some story, you know, let's say there's a movie or a book or something, and I tell you the whole story before you've seen it, then it'll ruin it for you, for at least many people. Right? So that's the whole thing. It's just he doesn't know how it'll turn out, how it'll go, and how it moves, that's how he then interacts. Right? And so it's the same principle that we're doing, no matter what the material world's doing, we just are always serving Krishna. It's the same principle that Krishna does in the spiritual world. How Yogamaya arranges it, that's how he responds. So we're always serving Krishna, and therefore that variety is just a variety in devotional service. So when we see it like that, then the variety and changing in the material world simply becomes variety in devotional service. Otherwise, then it's, you know, instability in the material world and that, and if we're attachment, then there's distress and all these things like that. But actually, that's why the devotees are always joyful, because what's to not be joyful about? You're doing service. Mm-hmm. And it changes, so it's always going to change, because that's the... Does that make sense? You know, one day everything goes smoothly, the next day not, and things like that. So, that's the way it works. Does that make sense? So, Krishna's enjoying not knowing, though it's all about what is pleasing to him. So, Yogamaya, being Sarup Shakti, she knows exactly what he likes. And so she'll make that arrangement. But she's making all that, the situation, the devotees there, you know, the background attitude, the feelings, all everything that's required for the pastime. That's why she's called also called Leela. Right? The Leela Shakti. She arranges all that. Right? Then Radha and Krishna, they can both just go with what happens at the time. But Yogamaya is an expansion of Radharani. So she arranges everything. Does that make sense?
Is the manifestation in Vaikuntha?
She's called Neela.
Neela.
Sri Bhuva Neela. So Neela is Leela.
And we don't see so much involvement there in Vaikuntha, like in Braj.
No, because it's all very formal. Yeah. So she'll be there because he's always with the Lakshmis. Like that. But it's also, she has the form where she's not there. It's just like, on the altar, Krishna's there, right? And he's with Radharani, right? And so then, so, Neela is the base. You know how Krishna's always standing on a lotus flower?
Yeah.
That's Neela.
Okay.
The Dham, that's Bhu. Mm-hmm. That's the whole Dham. But where he exactly puts his foot, the lotus that's there, that's Neela. Does that make sense? So then you can take it that Radharani's there, that Shri, then the whole deity room and all that, and that arrangement there for the deities, that's Bhu. And then where he's standing, that's Neela. So Shri, Bhu, and Neela are there. Does that make sense? In that form. Otherwise, it's Radharani,
yeah,
Lalita and Vishaka.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So all these things, that's why it said there's unlimited Shaktis. Because how they meant in what combination and which, like this, then.
You mentioned Neela is the Leela Shakti in Vaikuntha.
Is the?
Leela Shakti in Vaikuntha. I just want to confirm.
Neela. Sri Bhuva Neela.
Sri Bhuva Neela. So
she's also known as Leela. It's Neela, but she's known also as Leela. Because she's arranging the Leela, this Yogamaya. Does that make sense? Yes, no? Kind of. Okay. The word divya in the phrase divya shargadhi kartritvam, taking a divya role in creating the universe, indicates that Krishna even takes the role of antaryami within all the universes, but remains uncontaminated by it. Vidvamsa here means vidvamsanam, the cause of destruction of the parabdha karmas. Right, so then he's meaning here is the three, means how the overall Yogamaya, then how he's as Paramatma, and then how he's the, you know, the creator, maintainer, and how also the just lost what I'm talking to. Okay. 21195. What this is. An example of his extraordinary role in creation of the universes. The Lord, the soul of all, first was alone, then produced forms of the calves and boys by a part of himself, then spread himself in those forms as four-handed forms of Vishnu, and then was surrounded by Brahma and others along with the elements, and was praised and served by all the jivas of the universe. I surrender to that Lord. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore offers his obeisances unto Krishna by saying, Krishna, who is present as a human being, has as his mere shadow, the whole material nature. He has expanded himself into so many cows, calves, and cowherd boys. And he has again manifested himself in all of them as four-handed Narayana. He has taught millions of Brahmas self-realization, and thus he is worshipable not only by the heads of all universes, but by everyone else also. Therefore, let me always accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Jiva Goswami. An example of the astonishing power of the Lord, which was previously promised, is here presented. It is astonishing because it presents the Lord absorbed in his human pastimes, while simultaneously showing his powers as the Lord. Right? Because he doesn't go out of his pastimes. That's the point of the human pastimes. He always maintains a human way of doing it. But at the same time, as he's the Lord, because he uses his unlimited mystic powers. It's like, you know, the example given, it's raining, so you put up an umbrella. Just his umbrella happens to be Govardhan Hill. Right? Because just by his desire, Indra wouldn't be able to make any trouble. But, you know, what's the fun in that? Other verses will also later illustrate this verse, 198. Verse 198. The same incident should be understood according to the Bhagavatam. Have you not shown me today that both you yourself and everything within this creation are manifestations of your inconceivable potency? First you appeared alone, and then you manifested yourself as all of Vrindavan's calves and cowherd boys, your friends. Next you appeared as an equal number of four-handed Vishnu forms, who are worshipped by all living beings, including me, and after that you appeared as an equal number of complete universes. Finally, you have now returned to your unlimited form as the Supreme Absolute Truth, one without a second. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.18. An alternative version of the text is rejected. Right? So it appears that there are some other alternative words, but this one like this, this is all that's accepted. So the others must be taking some very strange directions.
Who's saying that?
An alternative version? Jiva Goswami.
Because this is what Rupa Goswami wrote?
Yes, but it means the Bhagavatam here, and so this translation, like we see, is what he's being given up here. Rupa Goswami, he's simply expanding that. He's offering a prayer based on this Srimad Bhagavatam verse 10.14.18. Rupa Goswami. Right? So Jiva Goswami is pointing out that the the words and their translation, then this, what is given here, this is what's accepted. Because remember before, sometimes there's alternative words. You know, the spelling's a little bit different or something. And in that different context, it also makes sense, and it's fine. So you see, as the acharyas will point those out, because sometimes you have different copies of the Bhagavatam or different literatures. And so then, in that, sometimes when it's copied down, it has a different word. Right? And so then, if the word, it still makes sense there, because philosophy has so many aspects, then it's fine, it's left. But if we see that it doesn't bring out the thing, it doesn't actually make the point, then, like you said here, an alternative version of the text is rejected. So there must be some. You know, it'll be in the critical edition, and then the jnanis will sit there and talk about it, and this and that. But the acharyas reject that one. And the other ones they can talk about, that's fine.
Is that? Yes. Also, sometimes Jiva Goswami points this out to show that other Vaishnavas sects also may say that how Krishna is not the Supreme Vishnu. So.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, very good. Mm. Thank you. Like that.
Didn't
catch. Means he's saying that sometimes the other Vaishnava groups, because they're bringing out some aspect that Krishna himself is not the supreme, Mahanarayan's the supreme, mm-hmm. and Krishna will be an expansion of Mahanarayan. And so he's saying we're not accepting those alternative views, or even I think the Madhvas, they basically try to avoid this chapter,
yeah.
like the Brahma Vimohan Leela, because they're saying how can the head of the Sampradaya be bewildered? He's the Uttamadhikari. He can't happen. But the point is, he's being bewildered by Krishna. They don't have a problem with Shiva being bewildered. You know, he's the head of another sampradaya. They're quite happy with that pastime. You know, but that's the whole point. Is even though they are the supreme in the universe, still Krishna is above them. And so then it's just we don't have any problem with it because Brahma doesn't have any problem with it. But they have. You know, it's just like you have the element that. Something's going on a higher level than us. And for us, you know, it's just, we want to establish nicely the principle of the guru and all that. And so, you know, it's a good intent. But at the same time, you have to see what those who are senior to us, what they're doing, how they're viewing it. Does that make sense? Yes.
Also, we don't have any problem with Krishna himself being bewildered. But yes. Nobody ever points out that, like, Vishnu being bewildered.
Yes, true. That's true. Yes. Yes, so it's not a part of the, it's not part of the fun. Yeah, Vishnu is never bewildered. He's always all cognizant and all. Yeah. So for them, it's not an important aspect. So they don't, it doesn't appear that these things are, you know, part of the elements that they appreciate. To 196. An example of his extraordinary ability to bewilder Brahma, Shiva, and others is illustrated as follows. Brahma was bewildered by Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, when he stole the boys and calves. In battle with Krishna, Shiva was put to sleep. O Indra, compared to Krishna, who are you devatas now? Srila Prabhupada. When Indra was defeated by Krishna in the matter of taking the Parijata plant from heaven, Narada met Indra and criticized him. O Indra, great king of heaven. Right, so open with that. O great king of heaven. Right, because he'll feel good. But Krishna has already defeated Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. So what can be said of an insignificant demigod like you? At that point, they kind of got to go, oh yeah, right. Narada Muni, of course, was criticizing Indra jokingly. And Indra enjoyed it. Because you bring back, if you've been defeated by someone who is undefeatable, there's no loss of position. You know, that's why even you see the Kshatriyas on the battle, they would always go for the best fighters, even if they were better than them. Because if they're defeated by them, who can complain? Everyone's defeated. If you're killed by Arjuna, who isn't? You know, does that make sense? You know, but if you were, how you say, killed by, Maynard G. Krebs or something like that, then, you know, it may be not work out so good, you know.
In the same logic, the Tattvabhadi, they should not complain about Brahma because he was defeated.
Yes, because he's defeated. That's the same, yeah, the point. It's not a, that's why Indra can take it, you know, he was said in a pleasant way, and he's taking it in that way. Because ultimately, if you look at it, then you step back from it as, yeah, who's not defeated by Krishna?
Yeah.
Because we see later in the, what is it, in the Chandogya Upanishad, then Indra, when they're asking about how to know the Supreme, then Indra's saying, worship Indra.
Yes.
He means Krishna.
Yes.
Like that. So when the passion is not so much, they understand.
Yes.
Right? That's the whole thing. It's just that's the thing, they can be overwhelmed by this passion, ignorance. While someone like Narada Muni, then he's in pure goodness, he never gets overwhelmed. So he always sees it properly. Yes.
Jarasandha selecting Bhima for fighting.
Yes, because otherwise the other two, is like Arjuna is not as strong as 10,000. He's good with a bow and arrow. But, you know, what's the uniqueness Jarasandha's, he's as strong as 10,000 elephants. And Bhima is also. Now that's a match, because if you're going to have a fight, it should be equal. Otherwise, what's the point?
They're known as wrestlers, both of
them. Yeah, and they're both wrestlers. Yes, you know, it's like that. Well, Duryodhana is not known as a wrestler, though he is that strong, or Dhritarashtra, like that. Kichika, he was a wrestler, like that, and you know, it didn't go so good for him, like that. Yeah, so like you said, yeah, he chose, because then, you know, there's some glory. So even if he's killed by him, at least he's as strong as 10,000 elephants. He wasn't killed by just anybody. In Narada's statement, it's confirmed that Krishna was able to illusion even Brahma and Lord Shiva as well as Indra. So there's no question of Krishna's power to do the same to lesser living entities. Srila Jiva Goswami. Narada spoke these joking words to Indra, who was pompously speaking after the battle of arrows for retrieving his Parijata tree. The word now, adya, indicates that Indra has just been defeated. Right? So just now, it's like that. Because that's also part of the thing, is that, yeah, it's considered that, if it's, yeah. 2.1.197. An example of destroying the Prarabdha karmas of the devotees is discussed in the 10th canto, right? So he's, with this overall quality, what is the overall quality we're dealing with? Inconceivable potency. So, then he can bewilder, Balaram, he can bewilder Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and he can remove the Prarabdha karmas of the devotees. So inconceivable potency. So as he said, it's going down in order.
Yes.
Right? Like that. So in other words, bewildering Balaram, that's the greatest.
Yes.
Suffering the bondage of his past activity, my spiritual master's son was brought here to you. O great King Yamaraj, bring this boy to me without delay. He has been purified by my edict. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:45-45. Srila Prabhupada. A description of Krishna's power in minimizing the sufferings of sinful reactions is given in Brahma Samhita as follows. Beginning from the great king of heaven down to the ant, everyone is undergoing the reactions of past deeds. But a devotee of Krishna is relieved from such reactions by the grace of Krishna. This was clearly proved when Krishna went to the place of Yamaraj, the lord of death, to reclaim the dead son of his teacher. Krishna's teacher had requested Krishna to bring back his dead son. And to do so, Krishna went to the place of Yamaraj to claim that soul, right? Rather than just on his own with mystic power. You know, that's what he's saying, human pastime. So he goes down to Yamaraj and then asks for the son. He went to the place of Yamaraj to claim that soul, who had been brought there by Yamaraj and was being kept under his control. Krishna immediately ordered Yamaraj, be benefited by my order and return that soul to me, unto me. The purport of this incident, that even a person who is under the regulative principles of the laws of nature and is therefore punishable by Yamaraj under these laws, can be granted complete immunity by the grace of Krishna. So Krishna's power, it doesn't matter. The laws of nature are there. And it says here, the regulative principles, the laws, they're always regulating the living entity. So they're happening in a regular way. And the reactions are standard. You know, so it's not that there's something out of the ordinary. It just takes people a little time to accept that that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. They keep trying to do it in one way, and eventually they start to figure out it doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. So Krishna, therefore, he can overcome that. No one else can, mm-hmm. Right? Even the demigods. Srila Jiva Goswami. Since the son was brought here because of his karmas to be suffered, how did he overcome that karma? Bring him here. He has been purified by my edict. What was the edict? By the Lord's edict, he became a devotee. It is understood that he was made a devotee because of his relationship to Sandipani. So it appears he wasn't so much, because otherwise why would he be under karma? Because devotees don't go to Yamaraj. Right? So it's the pastime. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. The son was made a devotee by the mercy of Krishna without performing sadhana, since he was the son of Krishna's guru. 2.1.198. So Krishna wished it to be so, therefore, like that. The word adi in the definition, ityad yachintya shaktita, in verse 194, also refers to accomplishing what is most difficult or impossible. Durgata ghatana. My master Krishna, full of infinite inconceivable powers, who, though without birth, became the son of Nanda, the leader of the cowherds, who, though pervading everywhere, manifest his form in the arms and lap of Yashoda, and who, though manifesting many forms, is only one form, delights my heart. Right? So these, doing the impossible, that's one of his potencies. So when he says inconceivable potencies, that means he can do anything. So that's why we see the second point is, that's being made in the Dasamul, is about Krishna and his energies, his unlimited energies. So by that, anything can be accomplished. Right? So that first principle about he being the supreme absolute truth and how he's always on that transcendental platform, that's the first thing to be established. Right? Then how his energies, and because in that then people have problem with energies, you know, as we've seen. So now once we establish that, then we see these unlimited energies, then he accomplishes anything. And so even though the contradictory and all that, it still works. It's all resolved in him. Right? Then The next aspect that comes up is that then he is then his pastimes. He does things because it pleases him. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna's inconceivable potencies have been described by Sukadeva Goswami as follows. Krishna is bewildering my intelligence because, although he is unborn, he has appeared as the son of Nanda Maharaj. He is all-pervading, but still he is held in the lap of Yashoda. In spite of his being all-pervasive, he has become limited by the love of Yashoda, right? Because she bound him. Although he has innumerable forms, still he is moving as one Krishna before his father and mother. Nanda and Yashoda. In the Brahma Samhita, also it is said that although Krishna is eternally living in Goloka Vrindavan, his transcendental abode, he is still present everywhere, even within the atoms. Right? So he's living there in his abode as one person, but at the same time he is spread everywhere. That's why he's saying his inconceivable potencies, they bewilder the intelligence. So we see is that also is that Mayavadis will also come up with this inconceivable aspect. Simply just when they run out of arguments and they still don't want to admit defeat, then they just bring out this inconceivable. Well, you can't describe it anyway, and this and that. So why did you just spend the last, you know, so much time arguing with everybody? Why didn't you just say, it's inconceivable? I don't know. Srila Jiva Goswami. Durghata Ghatana means that the Lord reveals himself in unprecedented circumstances, which are difficult for the observer to understand. This is the statement of Sukadev. Uddhava describes how Krishna is unborn. Api jani pari hi na. The personality of Godhead, the all-compassionate controller of both the spiritual and material creations, whose portion is Mahavishnu, revealer of the Mahatattva, is unborn. But when there is friction between his peaceful devotees and persons who are in the material modes of nature, he takes birth just like fire. Right, so it means in that friction, he takes birth there. So he just appears. So either there's friction, like when the bamboos rub together, then fire is there. So just like that, then Krishna appears. It's just out of his will. Because you would say, oh, that's why he's coming. But he's just coming because of his own will. It's not that because that's going on, he's forced to come. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.1. Garga speaks of Krishna as the son of the head of the cowherd men. Shunu abhira bhartuhu. For many reasons, this beautiful son of yours sometimes appeared previously as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, those who are learned sometimes call this child Vasudeva. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.14. Sometimes, swa Prasur, Garbha, Janma, one who takes birth, though he is self-born, is seen instead of Shunur, Abhira, Bartu, the son of the leader of the cowherd then. Right, so this is what we're seeing, is that you see these differences in the writing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's what he's saying. These alternatives, because both of those work.
Yes.
So they're just pointing out both of them and explaining so you understand how it is. But if there's alternatives and they don't work, then like Jiva Goswami said, you know, the other interpretations are not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Now it's mainly only a Chaya temple.
Yes, that's why we follow them. Because they know, so they can say what's what. You know, it's just like, let's say you have someone from a different culture,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, you know, they like food and they're kind of familiar a bit with food of another culture.
Mm-hmm.
They can't necessarily tell what's what.
Yes.
You know, it's just like Italian. If it's got spaghetti in it and some sauce on it, it's Italian. But there's a good chance Italians might say that's not actually Italian. Does that make sense? You probably have the same thing with, you know, with other... other particular, how you say, varieties of cooking. Yes. So it's the same principle. So those who are on this platform, they can tell, and so we have to hear from them. Because the point is yes, you can take grammar and come up with all kinds of things, but that doesn't mean it's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point. So they're bringing out then what does work. Okay. As the Lord, Vibhu, pervades everything where by his form, Krishna manifests himself to the fullest extent, Paryapta, in the arms of his mother, Jashoda, and others. To the fullest extent. So it's not that he's just partially there because he's pervading everywhere. He's there in his fullest extent. That's important. And then, he's still extending everywhere. You know, because otherwise, when we look at it from the material point of view, then we'll take it that Krishna is pervading everywhere, therefore he's spread everywhere, therefore he doesn't have a form. But the point is that form is still there, and that form is complete and full. And his spreading everywhere is just a part of that.
It's inconceivable.
It's inconceivable, exactly. Yeah. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning and no end. No exterior and no interior. No front and no rear. In other words, he is all-pervading, because he is not under the influence of the element of time. For him, there is no difference between past, present, and future. He exists in his own transcendental form at all times. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.13. Right, because when you have time, then you have something's here, and then it goes there. But since there's no time, he's everywhere. Right? Something is by knowledge you're everywhere, but it's by no time you're everywhere. Right? Narada describes how the Lord appears in many forms, but is one. It is astounding that Lord Sri Krishna, who is one without a second, expanded himself in 16,000 similar forms to marry 16,000 queens in their respective homes. So they had the marriages in their homes. Because otherwise, if you had one of those big, you know, one of those, like, what's it, that Reverend Moon kind of things like that, you know?
It's not in their home.
Yeah, it's, you know, some football stadium or something. That no, he is, each of them has their own palace, which has its own gardens and is complete in itself. And then they have the ceremony there. And so he's marrying each of these queens all at the same time. And each one is going slightly different in how it's going and the interactions, because it's going by that uniqueness of that particular queen. And so Krishna's taking that. And then his parents are at his wedding, so his parents have been expanded by Krishna. They're at every wedding, you know, and whoever's the priest, and like this. So it's all, so each one thinks, I'm the only one that's marrying Krishna. Okay. So Krishna does, so that all the devotees get that experience. So there's no question that one misses out. Same with the cowherd boys. They're all sitting there. They're sitting around in circles around Krishna. You know, so you can say, oh, but the ones are behind. If you're in the first circle, you think Krishna's right there. You're in the second circle, you're still just directly at Krishna. You're behind him, you're still looking at his face. like that. And so it doesn't matter how many circles are out, they're all just directly interacting with Krishna. You know, and then whatever cowherd boys that come into that, you know, interaction. So that's Krishna does all these things, but he still does it as a person, right? He doesn't sit there and meditate and go om or something like that.
Maharaj, I wonder where there was special Brahmins who got expanded to all these.
Yes, so must be. Whoever was the Brahmin, then they were expanded. Yeah, so it's just like whatever, you know, and Uddhava was also there.
Yeah.
You know. And then probably depending on what it is, that the girl's parents, they would only be at that wedding. You know, yeah. If they came, you know, but everybody else, you know, would be.
Otherwise it might get awkward.
Yeah, it would get awkward.
Hey.
Wait a minute.
I thought you were marrying my daughter.
2:119. Mm-hmm. Yes. Krishna knows how to avoid all weirdness. He whose form contains unlimited universe is called having a form of 10 million universes. In this way, the greatness of his form is glorified. Right? Because you just say, it's unlimited, so you say 10 million, and that, you know, that covers it. 2:1-200. An example from the Bhagavatam. What am I? A small creature measuring 7 spans of my own hand. I am enclosed in a pot-like universe, composed of material nature. The total material energy, false ego, ether, air, water, and earth. And what is your glory? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body just as particles of dust pass through the openings of a screened window. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14-11. So they've always had screens also. Srila Prabhupada. 57. Krishna's body generates innumerable universes. In the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma says, my dear Lord, false ego, intelligence, mind, sky, air, fire, water, and earth are the material ingredients of this universe, which can be compared to a gigantic pot. In that gigantic pot, my body is of insignificant measurement. And even though one of the many universes is created by me, innumerable universes are coming and going from the pores of your body, just as atomic particles are seen flickering in the sunlight. I think I am very, very insignificant before you. And I am therefore begging your pardon. Please be merciful towards me. Yes, unlimited. Srila Jiva Goswami. This example shows how Mahavishnu is a form spreading over all the universes to illustrate the present topic of the Lord having a form composed of 10 million universes. However, from this it should be concluded that Krishna, who is the source of Mahavishnu, is therefore even greater, for he spreads himself all over Vaikuntha. So it's not just, I mean, the unlimited universes that are coming from Mahavishnu are there, and they're unlimited. Then you have the unlimited Vaikuntha planets that are before him. Right? So that the person who Sankarshan who manifests, you know, it means Sankarshan's manifest from Vasudeva, and so therefore then you have, and he manifests Mahavishnu, and then unlimited universes. Then Vasudeva, you know, through Sankarshan is then expanding as all the Vaikuntha planets. All the 24 Vishnus unlimitedly. So it's even greater than unlimited.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Triple, actually.
Hmm?
Triple unlimited.
Yeah, and then Goloka is unlimited. It's 51% of unlimited.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I've always come across this 51% of the spiritual world. But, yeah, but the other day I came across something that appeared that it was saying it's 51% of the whole cosmic creation.
I think different places they refer to this or that.
Okay, but the point is,
Ramasamhita says Vaikuntha is unlimited,
right?
And then Golok is also unlimited within unlimited, which is 51% of that.
Okay. That's in Brahma Samhita. Yeah, because I've always known that one. But that just the other day, maybe it's in Chaitanya, maybe it's in the TLC.
Mm-hmm.
Must be something discussed with Sanatana Goswami. Because the point is it's unlimited. It's like that. So Goloka is unlimited, Vaikuntha is unlimited, the material world is unlimited.
But we are not unlimited.
No, that's the thing. We're 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. Where's the, you know, that's the, and that's as good as it gets, you know. That's the, yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing, is just when we accept that's who we are, then we can be happy because that's who we are. You know, if we try to be something else, we'll always be unhappy because we're not that. Yeah. I think I am very, very insignificant before you, and I am therefore begging. Oh, wait a minute, we went down. Huh? Krishna's separateness from all these universes in Vaikuntha is astonishing. So he's expanding like that. Same time he's sitting there in the lap of Mother Yashoda. It is said in the Gita, by me and my unmanifested form, the entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Srimad Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Now the present verse will be explained. Tamas is Prakriti. Mahat is Mahatattva. Aham is Ahankara. Kam is ether element. Chara is air element. Bhu, the earth, is earth element. This whole universe is elsewhere considered like a beggar's bowl. So it's not even just a fancy bowl, it's a beggar's bowl. Here it is designated as a pot, gata, to indicate Brahma's body being reddish like earth. Brahma, identifying himself with the form of the totality of jivas, the universe surrounded by the elements, says, "Who am I?" Identifying himself as four-headed Brahma, a form of seven vitastis, 7 × 9 inches, because you have this. If you extend your hand, the little finger out and the thumb out, mm-hmm. that distance, that's then one of these vitastis. It's also called a pradesh, like that. So then our bodies are off of 6 of these, right? And his is off of 7. No, excuse me. So 7. Wait a minute. Ours is off of whatever. You measure everything by this. Did we go through this before?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just all the measurements when you do the silpa, they use that measurement to get everything. How the face, how the this, all the different chakras, and it's all using this. Right. So there's more meaning to it than just when the people are going like this. They don't understand the depth of that. Right?
Yeah. Different places also, this means different things.
Yeah, yeah. That's the whole thing. And then they'll throw in the fingers, or, you know, this, and then all kinds of stuff. Yeah, you never know which one means what.
That's different vichar. Different vichar.
Yes, but if you use the wrong vichar, you might get hit up the side of the head. So.
They all mean something
bad. Yeah, well, it just means that, you know, the whole universe is constructed off of this, so therefore material is, you know, so there's a problem. Yeah. He says, who am I? The modifiers are in the form of karma dadayas. And what is the greatest of your form with such great qualities? Idrig vita, like atoms moving in and out, paranu charya, of the lattice work of a window, vatadva, the universes are created and destroyed in your hair pores, roma, viva rasya, each one being very small. So unlimited comes out and they're very small because they're coming out of the pores of his hairs, you know, like that. It is also seen in the Vishnu Purana, yasya yuta yutam samshe vishva shaktir iyam stita. The energy of the universe is situated as a portion of 1/10,000th of the Lord's energy. A portion of 1/10,000th of the Lord's energy. That's one universe. like that. And so we sometimes see it's the material manifestation is a millionth of a millionth or a billionth of a billionth. You know, so then one universe is one thousandth portion of that. So it's just not. Yeah. So they use these numbers so you get an idea. Because otherwise it's 2-1, 2-0-1. Another example. How is it possible for anyone to glorify you, whom Brahma saw in Vrindavan? In one corner of that Vrindavan are situated a million universes, each made of an earth measuring 500 million yojanas in diameter. Yeah. So that's a little bit bigger, right? Each filled with lower hellishly planets and the upper heavenly planets and all the material elements. Yeah. Yes, so here's, okay, Srila Prabhupada. If one takes into account only one universe, he will find so many combinations of wonderful things within. Because there are innumerable planets, innumerable residences, and places of demigods. The diameter of the universe is 4 billion miles. And it is infested with many unfathomable regions known as patalas, or lower planetary systems. Right? Infested. Right? Although Krishna is the origin of all this, he can always be seen in Vrindavan, exhibiting his inconceivable potencies. So who can adequately worship such an all-powerful Lord, possessed of such inconceivable energy? Srila Jiva Goswami, the Lord's size is shown by showing the size of Vrindavan. Right? So in one corner of Vrindavan, you have unlimited universes, and in each of those, then you have the earth and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So here's that the earth is it means it has that 4 billion miles across. You know, it's how big it is. So that's why it says it's not a planet. Because it's the whole thing. The whole Bhumandala is the earth. Yeah. Because it's human pastimes there. Just some of them have a little bit, you know, in other words, off of our place, basically everywhere else is Beverly Hills or something, you know, like that. You know. You know, so it's human, but a little bit better, like that. It's not up to the demigods, but it's a little better, you know, like that. And so you're going to have all that kind of aspect. At the same time, is then exactly the portion we're on, the Bharatakanda, then what shape that is, then that's another discussion. So those things, no, it can't be that, because the sun's going around Bhumandala, not around our planet, not around our part of it. Our part's part of the bigger, the mandala, so therefore, you know, we're included in that. Does that make sense? Yeah.
For one sun, for one universe,
yes. You know, that's the whole philosophy, right? God gave his one son.
But that was his only son. He's got plenty of other sons.
Well, that's in this universe. You know, and then every universe has a son. So.
Yeah.
Unlimited universes, unlimited sons. No? Works? No? Okay. 2-1. Oh, no, it's time to stop. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Natai Gaura Premanand.
No.
There's only one universe. Bhumandala, there's 7 main islands. And then the islands have their parts. So within the part we're on, Jambudweep, which is the smallest, it has 9 varshas. So on the lowest one, the southern one, that's Bharatavarsha. Right? And so on that, it has 9 khandas. And so we're with on one of that, which is called Bharatakanda. So we're on 181th of Jambudvipa. So, you know, whether, you know, how that's shaped and this and that, but the point is that the whole earth thing is flat. Prabhupada says shaped like a lotus leaf, slightly got a curve to it. Mm-hmm. So that aspect where they're saying it's flat at the same time as that it's a planet, it has both of those can be there, because the part we're on that they're calling the planet is only a small portion of that whole thing. So that's the thing, is that it's looked at has to be one or the other, but both are going on at the same time.
So it is spherical as in Maharaj. Hmm? So Bharatakhanda and the planet in which we are staying is spherical as well as flat.
It's spherical. I mean, it's flat if you look at it. Wherever you look, it's all flat, right?
Flat.
When you're walking, it's always flat.
Yes.
But the point is it can be a planet, but it's only a planet on the you know, this one small part of Jambudvipa. That's just 1/7 of Bhumandala. But it doesn't really matter, because you notice that they do all the stuff on the top, and you never hear about them going under the bottom.
Exactly. Yeah.
They never talk about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, they fly over the north and say, see, it's a planet. They don't fly over the south and say, see, it's a planet. Yeah, so whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It works in a particular way, and that's all you need to know. They all say no, but that's blind faith. That's a damn blind faith.
There's something that.